Turn mics. Very good. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I am Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me, other members of the BZA, tables across the room, our city staff members, and today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table there at the entry door. Pursuant to BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and then a second, further discussion among board members, and then a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to three speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone, and speakers need to state their name and address for the record, please. Appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Forte to call the roll.
Daniel Odell.
I'm here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
Don Horton.
Here.
Ebony James.
Here.
All right. Thank you very much. To get us going today, don't believe we have any old business. We do have old business. But before getting to that, I'm going to ask if anyone would make a motion on our minutes from last month's meeting to approve.
Make a motion. We approve minutes from September 21st meeting.
We need a motion and a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Forte, please call a vote. Oh, that's right. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, I got used to being online. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Old business for this month, the file item 9B21VA. You're here for this, probably it's 4410 Western Avenue. Please step up to the microphone. State your name and address for the record for us.
Hello, my name is Ashley Smith. I'm here for property address 4410 Western Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee.
All right, before we get going, Ms. Smith, is there any further comment from the city on this item?
Yeah, actually there is. Since this original application was filed, the civil engineering group that's part of this project has filed for an alternative landscape design. So it's going to address the conflicts that elicit that part of the hardship. So the plants that they're going to propose will be lower than the 20-foot sign. So at least that part of the hardship is being addressed through the engineering group.
Okay. Which part again was that, Scott, on our application? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Which part is lower than, again? Did I mishear you? Which part is different again?
On the landscaping will be lower. There was the landscaping trees will be topped out at 8 to 10 feet, which is the sign at 20 feet, I believe, is, and Ms. Smith can speak to it. I think the bottom clearance is 13 feet. So
absolutely. Ms. Smith, should be below. Smith, please tell us about your application request and what your hardship is.
Yes. Hi. We are building a new Sonic store, and it's going off the Western Avenue and Middlebrook exit heading west. We want our sign to be as accessible as possible to our customers for the on and off ramps. Because we're building this new building on a dilapidated building, and it's going to bring in a lot more tax dollars for the community and the city. And we really want our sign to be 35 feet overall height, because our existing competitors along Western, traveling west, are at least 35 feet plus. And I have examples that I can pass out to the panel.
Sure.
So you can.
Thank you very much. Anybody have extra? Just bring back me. Thanks. Our Sonic customer, they're spending a lot of money here to get a new store. Oh, I'm gonna wait. Sorry. Gotcha. I'll let you guys. But as I stated, we are building a new store on a with the dilapidated building. And we want our sign to be as visible as possible. As you can see, the Taco Bell sign, we have two stages on the columns. Those stages are at least 20 feet apiece. So that Taco Bell sign is a minimum of 35 feet. And it's directly across the street from where our new Sonic store is going. And then you have the KFC site sign right down from it, and it is 35 feet as well. The second page in your packet shows the current Shoney's building that we will be raising and rebuilding the new Sonic store on. And then you can also see that the store is in the Vantage Point coming from Middlebrook down Western Avenue. And it's also seen off 640. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? All right, seeing one. This gentleman to come up to the podium real quick. Please state your name and address to the record, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kevin Murphy, 4508 Murphy Road. I'm here representing the Board of Scenic Knoxville today. Was there a couple of photos that y'all received from me that were, so we're here for about the request for the sign height. And first, I wanted to show that there are a variety of different signs and advertising available in the franchisees and stores that have large corporate presences. They have a lot of different available designs. We were thinking a lot of this was around landscaping. So I found some examples. First, in Fort Collins, Colorado, where I actually lived for about 18 months on a project, and they adopted a sign ordinance and landscaping ordinance years ago that. Knoxville's newer ordinances are a little bit more similar for. The one in Fort Collins there shows a Sonic that's on a corner. It's got a ground sign. It's got landscaping buffer. So, you know, these things can be accommodated. The next one, I think, is from Brentwood, Tennessee. If you'll scroll past the next one. The second photo was just showing how, like, you can do, pole signs and directory signs. Take trees and you can actually get the trees up higher above the sign. So that's one way of getting visibility when you do have landscaping buffers. Third one, this was Brentwood, Tennessee. It's in winter, but there are trees and some landscaping. And this one's on a corner and they've chosen to put a ground sign that is at the corner that provides advertising and visibility. The last one, which I thought was the most interesting, was Chattanooga. Their buffer requirements are somewhat similar to what Knoxville's are. You can see, they have some landscaping trees out front. They do have their detached sign is a pole sign, which is set farther back. I actually read their ordinance allows you to go up to 30 feet if you set it farther back. But again, you have a pole sign that's up and it's visible, back. The landscaping ordinance doesn't really require a forest to be built, to be put in place to block the sign. It's a lot more gradual. Just very briefly, I think most members are pretty familiar with the sign ordinance and the landscaping ordinance. The city intentionally adopted a new sign ordinance several years ago, and it imposed new maximum heights to signs. Now, for implementation, the way that happens is we don't go around and we don't tell all the existing businesses that are no longer conforming to the new ordinance that they have to tear their signs down and put in new ones. But we do have, but the requirement gets triggered here when there's redevelopment or new development that they, comply with it. This is kind of the balance of the city legislative body has set the direction they want it to go in. And then, now there's a gradual, change in that. As other properties along this area are redeveloped, their taller signs would need to be brought into conformance as well. So if they put in new signs. Finally, there's not a hardship claimed that's allowed as terms of the zoning ordinance. This is a rectangular lot. It's really, there's nothing remarkable topography-wise or shape-wise or anything like that. It has two fronts, fronts to it, but there are a lot of corner lots in the city. So there's, there's not anywhere in state or local statute a justification where a hardship is based off of what your neighbor has that's legal non-conforming. So in this case, we don't think there's a hardship, and we'd ask you to vote to deny the ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. I appreciate that. Would you like a chance to respond to that? We would welcome that if you'd like to.
Yeah, my name is David Brewster with Patterson Sonic Group. We represent Inspire Brand Sonic.
Sure.
Just a couple of questions. I know that I was up there this morning driving, back and forth, taking some of the photographs that you guys have before you now. There are no monument signs on Western Avenue as of today. They're all pylon signs. And that's, coming all the way from downtown, all the way out to, to the Carnes area. So if you look, there are multi-tenant signs on Western Avenue, but they're all 25 foot plus in height. And it's going to be like such as, if you're familiar with the area, it's going to be the firehouse. I think you're right before the 640 liquor store and everything, this side, there's some multi-tenant signs there, but they're all, again, pylon signs, and they're all 25 feet plus. And I guess my biggest question was, he's correct. Sonic does offer many signs in their sign family, but were any of the examples that he was given, were they off a major interstate intersection, right? Such as 642 Western, or as coming from Middlebrook in. Because I'm familiar with the one in Brentwood that had a multi-tenant sign that is on a single road. So it's one way in, one way out. It's not close to the interstate. So I guess my request or my prayer would be that, take into consideration that, again, the money that's being spent not only on the variance, but to raise and rebuild a brand new location on Western Avenue by Inspire Brands, and also to take into consideration that it is coming off a major intersection such as 640. You can see the Taco Bell sign from the interstate when you get off of the ramp, such as the KFC sign, and the Matco sign as well. So a monument sign there, no one would know it's there coming off the exit.
Yep. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments from the board on this agenda item? This board's been real supportive of the sign ordinance since it came out. And there's been very few variance requests that we've granted. Just as an opening statement for you guys, just to know, it's real hard, I think, under the variance that we're allowed to consider the reasons to justify, changing the sign ordinance. It was highly supported and put into effect in Knoxville, but. That being said, there are some cases that, would justify it, I think. I think from my perspective, just to get us going, I don't see any of the typical hardships that we're allowed to consider things of. So topography is really not an issue here. What's really going on is you can't see it from the interstate. You can't see it from very far away. This board's going to understand that a lot of the neighbors have signs that are this tall. Those signs were put in place before this standard. Sign standard is put in place. So they can be there as long as they're there. As soon as those properties pull permit, they'll be subject to the same sign regulations as this property is right now. So generally, that's my perspective on it. And I can't speak for the entire board.
I agree with Daniel. I agree with your comments. Unfortunately, there's no clear hardship in this case. The only hardship that was stated on the application has been addressed through the engineer and planting plan. So, I don't see any hardship. This sign ordinance was passed by council. We're not here to change that ordinance. We're here to interpret the variance and approve or deny it based on a hardship. And I don't see any hardship in this particular case, so I'm going to make a motion. We deny 9-B-21-VA.
I second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0 motion. Motion carries to deny 9B21BA. Thank you. All right, moving on to 9E21BA. That's 3841 Woodhill Place. If you're here to speak to this, please step up and state your name and address for the record, please.
Good afternoon, Thomas Frazier. Here representing 3841 Woodhill Place. Customer is requesting the variance to increase the
five. Can you speak just a little bit further into the microphone there?
Customer is requesting the variance to be increased from a 5-foot maximum of the front porch to a 7-foot to allow covered accessible space to the front of the home. As the home sits now, the topography in the hillside slants off to the side where the main driveway is. So to access the front of the home, they have to walk up the driveway around the retaining wall to the front porch, which is just 5 feet by 6 feet. And they have a large family, 4 kids, dogs, and everything. So when they stand on the front porch, they get rained on while trying to get in the home. So we're trying just to extend a little bit more coverage to give them the access to use the front of the house as their main entrance, because that is the main living area. Groceries, laundry, all that stuff is on the main level. When you walk in the lower level, you have 15 stairs right in front of you. And they do have like in-laws and parents that stay there often. So they're just trying to make it as easy, accessible for the front part of the house. And that's the request of the additional 2 feet onto that front porch.
Sure. Will you tell me your name again? I missed it when you
first Thomas Frazier.
Thomas Frazier. Thank you. Okay, great. I failed to ask on the front end. Are there any further comments from the city on this?
No further comments.
Thank you. Let me ask real quick, Thomas, if there's anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. All right, I don't see anyone here to speak in opposition. This is fairly straightforward from my review of it. And there's a big hill out back, right, that goes down?
Correct.
Into a little ravine back there or something.
Correct. I'm sure if the topography was a little bit different, the house probably would have been set a little bit further from the house or from the street line, which the encroachment wouldn't be so bad, but I understand. Mm-hmm. It sits further, closer to the house than most of the homes on that street.
Yeah.
And from my understanding, the variance is by guideline of average, like the average home sits so far and so back or so close. And this is just kind of at the fall line of the lower part of the average. So that's why we're kind of requesting the increase.
Sure. Understandable. Any questions or comments from the board?
No, I think it's pretty straightforward variance. It's a minimal adjustment necessary. There's a lot of topography. It's a porch. It's not a major encroachment, even if at that. So in consideration of that, I'll make a motion. We approve 9E-21-VA.
Second.
Motion is second to approve 9E21VA. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, 10A21VA. New business for this month. That is 6005 Kingston Pike. I don't see anyone jumping too quick. Oh, perfect. I forgot about the Zoom. While we're getting the Zoom moved over, were there any further comments from the city on this item?
No.
None, thank you.
Can everybody hear me?
There we go, perfect. Please state your name and address for the record.
Certainly. Good afternoon, my name is Gary Potts. My address is 58171. Dragonfly Court in Osceola, Indiana. Here today representing CVS Pharmacy and Atlas Sign Company. CVS Pharmacy wishes to update their corporate branding package at this site to include the Health Hub signs on the wall and the sign panels on the freestanding signs. Total number of signs on the building will not change. The ordinance changed so that the total square footage of the existing signs or the new signs would not be allowed under the new code. We feel these signs are necessary because the site will be a new health hub location in addition to continuing as a Minute Clinic not all CVS pharmacy locations offer these services. Thus, the signage is necessary to inform the general public of these offerings. To reduce the signs to a code compliant size would result in greatly reduced visibility to the general public seeking such services. The strict application of this ordinance would result in decreased motorist wayfinding, as the new signs would be too small to be safely read while in traffic. The building and existing signs predate the new ordinance. The existing signs were code compliant under the terms of the old ordinance, and this new ordinance presents a potential blockade to tenants wishing to update their branding and invest in their building improvements. Some of the standards for the variances. Variances, we understand, will be granted only when special circumstances or conditions fully described do not apply generally in the district. We understand that the building is sited so that the main entrance is on a chamfered corner, and the building was designed to best make use of the parcel. The original code was taken into account when we designed the building and situated it on the land, and it has led to the new code would lead to greatly reduced signage allowances for wall signs. Variances will not be granted to allow a use otherwise excluded from a particular district, which requested. Our response is that it does not apply. The use is not an excluded use of the property. Three, for the reasons fully set forth in the findings of the board, the aforesaid circumstances or conditions are such that the strict application of the provisions of this code would deprive the applicant of any reasonable use of his or her land. Mere loss in value does not justify a variance. There must be a deprivation of beneficial use of land. As I stated before, the building was sited and designed to provide optimum use and maximum signage visibility to increase wayfinding. The space has parking on three sides of the building, as well as street visibility on three sides of the building as well. Number four, any variance granted under the provisions of this section must be the minimum adjustment necessary for the reasonable use of the land. We believe that the request is the minimum adjustment necessary to inform the public of services offered at this location and doing so in a safe and efficient manner. Number five, the granting of the variance is in harmony with the general purpose and intent of this code. It will not be injurious to the neighborhood, detrimental to public welfare, or in conflict with the general plan for development. Our response is that this is a highly traveled and developed commercial area. The request for the brand update will not be injurious to the neighborhood and will be advantageous to the public welfare by advertising services offered that provide critical and lifestyle improvement services, thus giving the opportunity to improve the public welfare and well-being. If you're unfamiliar with the Health Hub level of services, what it is, the Minute Clinic provides urgent care type of needs, broken bones, bumps, sprains, sore throats, that sort of thing, kind of an urgent care sort of offering. Health Hub is more of a lifestyle type of service offering, so weight management, diabetes management. So once they come in, if they come into the urgent care and during that visit they are found to have hypertension or some other presenting lifestyle condition, they can follow up with the Health Hub and get some lifestyle changes in place to provide improved health for themselves. I know that we went through the sign, you probably have gone through the sign package, and what we're doing here is we're taking on the main ID, we're removing that message, the manual message board, and putting up the advertisement for the Health Hub and Minute Clinic. And like I said, all of the existing wall signs that are there and total number, the total number is not changing, just the layout for the new corporate branding does result in a larger additional square footage than what is there currently. The one sign that's on the rear of the building, if you could go to, it is on page, bear with me here. You can probably find it before I do. There it is. The sign ordinance does measure that sign square footage for the overall sign cabinet itself, which is in the calculation we put on there, listed at 130 some square feet. The actual copy of the CVS pharmacy, just the logo and the words, are at 92 and a half square feet. But we did list that on the improperly is the way it's measured by the city. So when we did the comparison of the two, that it's larger. But if you look at the difference between what's there now and a copy, it's really not much different. It's really to the addition of the heart logo to that. And like I said, everything else, we're just kind of moving, repositioning the signs on the walls and then adding the health hub. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you'd have at this time.
Okay, Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we proceed any further, I need to ask if we have anyone here to speak in opposition to this request. And we do, please step forward and the podium and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is Joyce Feld. I live at 1540 Agawila Avenue in Knoxville, Tennessee. Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. That's good. I'm here as president of Scenic Knoxville. As you know, a goal of the 2015 sign ordinance was to reduce sign clutter in the city of Knoxville. The primary approach of accomplishing this goal was to set new standards, which reduced the size and height of new signs. But a second and deliberate approach was to specify conditions when existing non-conforming signs must come into compliance with the new standards. It is this second method, this second approach, that applies to the variance request before you. In other words, non-conforming signs are legal until changes in the signs are requested, as in this case. This applicant has a lot of legally non-conforming wall signage, which exists on three sides of the building. In addition, there is a legal non-conforming ground sign, which is taller than what the current ordinance allows, as well as a secondary ground sign that is larger than what the current ordinance allows. And both of these ground signs will remain. There are also numerous temporary signs in the parking lot, which may or may not be legal under the ordinance, depending on how long they've been there. This location, which is not set very far back from Kingston Pike, does not lack for signage or visibility. For comparison, a major competitor less than a block to the west has much less wall signage and is located further from Kingston Pike. Yet between the smaller conforming wall signs and the smaller conforming ground signs, the business is still visible to passing motorists. In addition, another CVS a few blocks east on Kingston Pike has a smaller wall sign with smaller letters, and even though it sits much further back from Kingston Pike in Western Plaza, is still visible to passing motorists. The applicant notes changes in corporate branding as one of the reasons for requested changes to their wall signs. We understand the desire to conform to corporate standards, but it's the city of Knoxville that sets the standards for Knoxville, and not national corporations. Like all national corporations, and I think you saw this in photographs that were submitted for a previous case, like all national corporations, CVS has a wide array of choices in signage based on the local sign ordinance where they locate, including in municipalities with stricter sign ordinances than Knoxville. The applicant has not claimed a legal hardship as required by the ordinance. The lot is not exceptionally irregular, narrow, shallow, or steep, or have other exceptional physical conditions. Strict application of the ordinance would not result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship, which would deprive the owner of reasonable use of the property. The applicant will not be prevented from using this property as the zoning ordinance intended. Scenic Knoxville requests that the board allow the 2015 sign ordinance to be applied as intended. Following the ordinance will help to reduce sign clutter and will also create a level playing field between the applicant and surrounding businesses that installed their signs after July 2015 to be in compliance with the ordinance. We ask that you deny this variance request. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Phil. Appreciate it. Mr. Potts, if you would like a couple minutes to respond to that, you're welcome to it.
Sure. The ordinance, we're fully aware of what the ordinance states and what the requirements are. And yes, we do have varying sign packages that will fit a building. However, we also take into consideration sign legibility and the National Sign Council's legibility standards for setbacks and for speed limits and lanes of traffic. We take all those into consideration when we put together a sign package. And to put together a code compliant sign package for our ancillary signage for the Minute Clinic and the Health Hub and the drive-through pharmacy simply would not provide adequate wayfinding. It just would not be visible and enough, wouldn't provide ample response time for motorists based on the driving conditions and the distance from the center lane of Kingston Parkway. Furthermore, the building does have a situs condition where it's on a chamfered corner. Your code does not really state anything for a chamfered corner entrance. Working with Ms. Rebecca Johnson, it seems as though they came up with a formula that states you get half of one elevation and half of another elevation. And that's where the 224 came in to play for the code compliance. But looking through the code, I failed to find anything that came up with that calculation that's codified. So obviously we certainly appreciate, and we don't want to certainly increase any sign clutter. We feel that these signs are an aesthetic addition to the building and at the same time offering advertising for our various departments and services that we offer inside the CVS pharmacy. I'm not familiar with who she's speaking about block down the road. However, I don't know that they offer urgent care services as well as lifestyle changes in addition to just being a retail pharmacy. So there may be a little bit of discrepancy between that what's down the block down the road and what's situated for the CVS pharmacy. So as far as that, I certainly appreciate her input. However, we feel that we do have a hardship for the site and feel that a variance in this instance is uniquely warranted.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Potts. I appreciate that response. All right. Are there any questions, comments from the board?
Did we ask for city comments?
I believe that we did.
Okay. I had a question about the chamfered corner, and Mr. Potts stated that's not codified in our code. It sounds like it's a policy, administrative policy. What would be the calculation if you did not consider the chamfered corner and just considered those straight wall, the walls? That change, how would that change their?
Sherry, if you'll go to page 4 in the document, please. So square footage is determined based on the primary entrance of the street frontage. And Mr. Potts is correct. The code does not address chamfered corners. So where it does not address that, zoning is tasked to interpret and administer what would be a sign allotment for that. And the determination that Mr. Potts was speaking of and that Rebecca had provided him is they take half of the facade on each side, and you can see based on where the corner entrance is there and the red lines goes down to half of each facade side, and that's how it's determined based on that square footage for the sign allotment. So
that'd be more than what, so they're getting more.
Yeah, I think in this case it would be. I mean, certainly if the building was shape different.
So in this case, your interpretation is giving them more if,
right,
if otherwise that was a straight corner. So they're getting actually a benefit, right, to the chamfered corner. It's, yeah, not actually a hardship. It's actually giving them more area.
Is in that, this case, that's right.
In this particular case. That was the only thing I could think of that was unique, the unique characteristic. However, it doesn't equate to a hardship. It's to the applicant's benefit. The city's interpretation is to the applicant's benefit in this instance. I wanted to clarify that.
Any other comments?
Oh, I don't see a hardship in this, and that the building is looks like oversigned. If you're looking at all elevations, I guess I would like to make a motion that we deny approval of 10A 21BA.
Okay, I have a motion to deny 10A 21BA.
Second that motion.
A motion and a second. Any further comment? I think wayfinding and safety can be concerns, but looking at this parcel, I think I just disagree. It's kind of the bottom line. I don't see anything about this property that needs to be signed the way it is. And so certainly giving it more is not something.
Well, and the health hub, the way he explained the health hub, which is the only thing that's new, the new type of branding that's going into this, that is not not of an urgent nature. So I think the wayfinding is less of a need for that particular service. So I agree.
Yep, I agree with that as well. So motion to deny 10A 21BA. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to our next item, 10D 21VA for 203 Southgate Street and a bunch of other addresses here. Zero Vine, Zero Gay. So there's lots without addresses, and then 215 Gay Street as well. If you're here to speak to this, please step forward. Go online here as well.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Jared Ariano, representing this project from Design Innovation Architects.
Okay, great, Jared. Thank you very much. Before we get going with you, is there any further comment from the city on this agenda item?
No further comments.
All right, thank you. No further comment. Jared, if you would tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship.
Sure. This is a project that's on the corner of Summit and Gay Street. And it's a mixed-use project with a lot of square footage, and it's a retail building fronting Gay Street with a residential tower with retail at the ground level and a shared courtyard between two buildings. There's build-to lines, which we are expecting, which essentially gets to the edge of the property lines. Site has quite a bit of slope, so it's very challenging to provide access on all sides of it, but we're dealing with that with stepped entrances along Gay Street. One portion of this has a subgrade parking structure that's accessed off of Vine Street. And because of the narrow lot and the topography, we're requesting that the distance from Gay Street on Vine to the entry of the garage is less than the required 100 feet, and this is about 79 feet, almost 80 feet. That's kind of working with the grades, as it were, and how to kind of create multiple levels on these two sloping sides, one on Summit, one on Vine, and how to connect them. The other portion of this is the bicycle parking. So we have two primary uses, which is commercial use and residential use. Based on our calculations for parking that would be required, and because it's downtown, parking is not required, but based on the count of square footage, we would require 8 parking spaces for residential and 8 for the commercial use. if we combine those square footages, it would be a total of 12, I believe. But if we break it up for residential and commercial, we require 8 spaces for residential and 8 bicycle parking spaces for commercial. We're seeking to provide the parking spaces for the bicycles for the residential and subgrade parking structure. Those 8 spaces would be there. We're requesting that we provide no bike parking spaces for the commercial portion of the building project because of just the building is maximizing its footprint, which is actually respecting the design guidelines in this area. So, and just also advocating that, you know, we're kind of in a collective environment, so there's quite a bit of bicycle parking spaces nearby.
Okay, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Need to ask real quick, is there anyone here speaking in opposition to this request? Seeing none, we can move forward with any questions from the board on these two items.
Are there are there bike racks on the sidewalk along this stretch of Gay Street? Are there plans for bike racks from the city? Does the city provide public bike racks along that 100 block of Gay Street? I guess that's a question for staff.
There's a map there, I think, on page.
I'm sorry. Okay.
It shows the quarter mile radius of all the bike racks that are there.
I guess what I was thinking for that particular block, for that 200 block, are there plans to put in bike racks on that? Are there typically plans for the city to include that or incorporate that? Is that something the city puts on the developer to install in the right of way?
The determination of bicycle racks and locations is typically done through the city engineering department. And at this point, you know, at times we've had applicants reach out to that department and ask for or determine if there's any additional need. So I'm not sure as to whether or not the applicant did and do that. I'm sure that they can address that. But
would that be applicable to this, to the project? I mean, we're talking about bike parking on their parcel, right? Does that take into consideration putting some bike racks on the sidewalk on Gay Street? Would that count towards their provided, or because that's on city right of way, that'd be city provided? Or I'm just wondering how that's coordinated, dealt with.
Do we know if Joshua Fraze
is? Yeah, I'm here. This is Joshua Fraze, City Engineering. Typically, when people reach out to City Engineering, Traffic Engineering specifically about bike racks in the right of way, they're asking if if they can put bike racks into the right of way and use it for their use. I don't know if this particular development did that, but I know that one nearby recently asked Traffic Engineering, and their word that they got back was there's enough in the right of way. So yeah, I guess you can take that what you will as far as Traffic Engineering's feel for how many bike racks we have in the right of way.
Okay. Well, that answers that. I think both variances I'm supportive of. First one in particular, this is a very, very constrained site. It's really hard to get parking circulation. So I think that's a very, it certainly qualifies as a hardship in this particular case. The bike rack, I'm also okay with. I think there is, and as engineering asserted, there's plenty of bike parking. I just kind of had a question about the process and how that works. And I know this kind of takes into consideration the parking of bikes in the building, which is at a premium. A lot of bike racks are public, particularly folks who are visiting. Perhaps there's some retail space part of this development, I'm assuming. I could see why we would want to make sure there's bike parking. And I think the city generally takes care of that, or the developers put that, accommodate that. You don't want bikes laying around outside on the sidewalk, blocking the sidewalk. I think that's what the city wants to avoid. And that's why this is in the code. So anyway, I'll go ahead and make a motion. We approve 10-D-21-VA. And we can have some more discussion, but I want to get my motion out.
I did have a quick question for you all. In the packet here, it states a number, variance request number 2, that he's requesting that the required spaces go from 8 to 0. But in the staff comments, I think it says from 8 to 2, and I'm just wondering which one of those were published for us to vote on.
It would be 0.
0.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm going to second that motion that was on the table, just process. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we have a motion to approve 10D21VA as it's submitted. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, very good. I think that a meeting adjourned. That does our meeting for today. See you in November.